It is time for You Just Made the List. And You Just Made the List is presented by TriStar Movers with five-star service. And we have a great prize on the line today. Tickets to see Third Eye Blind at First Bank Amphitheater on July 27th. Also, be listening this hour because we are going to give away our grand prize for our casino trip giveaway to Evansville. Cliff McCardle from Promotions is going to spin the roulette wheel, and we will announce the winner for that. But right now, for You Just Made the List, a pair of tickets to see Third Eye Blind at First Bank Amphitheater on July 27th, 615-737-1025 is our number. Willie, would you like to get it started?
Do you have one that you like to lead off with?
Sure.
I could go either way.
Mine happened last night.
Mine is kind of minor.
Okay, well, I'll lead off then. Mine happened last night. And I feel like concerts, and especially big ones at a stadium, will always produce list material. But where my seats were, and it was me and some friends, and we were, I mean, they were great seats, like great view of the stage and everything. But where we were at Nissan Stadium, our row was kind of the people kept crossing over our row to go down to the field. And it got very frustrating because it's like you can go around. Like you can go in front where nobody is and then go down to the field. You don't have to cross in front of us. And people kept doing it. And I finally was like, no, you're not coming through. I'm not moving. Like, this has to stop. I'm not getting up again.
Like, this is not a lane.
There is a lane right in front
of you. We're closing the lane.
And people, and there was what was funny is there was this one guy that like halfway through realized what he'd done and like to his credit was like, I'm sorry, I'm a jerk, I shouldn't have done that. And it's like, okay, at least you have recognized this. But yeah, and I see that a lot. Like, are you really getting there quicker by cutting in front of a bunch of people and making them stand up and walk over toes and all that stuff when you could have just gone in front and been fine? Like, it made no sense. So for people that kept cutting in front of me to cross over, you just made the list.
You just made the list.
Well, Chase, it sounds like not only that, but it sounds like Def Leppard should make the list for starting off a set with a new song.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, you can't do that. I mean, mix one in during the set, but come on. Leading off with a new song, that sounds like that's list worthy.
Yeah, I mean,
I wasn't there last night, so I can't officially be the guy that puts him on the list. But I think if I had been at the concert, that's what I would have. That would have been my first song. I'd be like, "What?"
Yeah, the first good song was Animal. They played like two songs that were newer that I had never really heard of, and then they played
song the two.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's list worthy.
And then they played Animal, Foolin', Armageddon It, and then they had another new song. Then they went to Love Bites,
and Motley Crue went after them.
Yeah, Motley Crue closed it out.
So, what was their leadoff song?
Wild Side.
Okay, so one of their well-known songs, right? Not not the top of my list, but at least that's a
no. But that's a good. It was a good one lead-off. to lead off with.
Yeah,
but then they went Wild Side. I mean, they hit it hard coming out. Like, they went Wild Side, Shout at the Devil, Too Fast for Love, Don't Go Away Mad, Just Go Away, and then they Saints of Los Angeles is a newer one that they played. Then Livewire, Looks That Kill. They did this was kind of cool. They did a medley of covers of like Rock and Roll Part 2, Smoking in the Boys Room, Helter Skelter, Anarchy in the UK. But it was a good set and closed out with Kickstart My Heart.
All right.
So that's good.
I just have a minor list today, and it harkens back to when we were at the Field of Dreams. There was some unique Iowa bugs. I don't know exactly what they were called. They weren't mosquitoes or anything, but some of the parents had bug spray going. And this I saw from a parent on the other team. But you don't shoot the bug spray right at the bugs. Right. If there's the bugs are swirling around you, you don't use the bug spray. Is not designed like the off or whatever brand you use. You put it on your skin. right? You coat yourself with the skin and the bug spray, and that protects you from the bugs. Like if you're sitting around some people, you don't just spray the spray into the air in the area and expect that to do the job, right? Isn't that a waste of bug spray when you do that?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, what does that really do? It might kill like three bugs in the air, but that's not the purpose. So I saw a guy, he just reached right up at a 45 degree angle and just let it rip around him. Like really? He's putting a shield around him. Right?
Yeah.
That's not what you do. So it seems like a waste of bug spray. Probably not the best thing for the atmosphere. Like, okay, bug spray, let's use it correctly. Don't spray the bug spray right at the bugs. Coat yourself on the skin and go from there.
Yeah, the only time you can spray it at the bugs is when you actually have that kind of like a wasp spray or something that's what you're
yeah,
supposed
to. Yeah, if you're to trying do. To get a fly or something like that, one particular one, you're trying to get it out of your house or something. Okay, but the bug spray that's designed to keep you protected, use it correctly.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, are we ready to go to the phones?
Let's do it.
Third Eye Blind tickets on the line for You Just Made the List. Let's go to Bradley. Bradley, welcome in.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Who's on your list?
I don't have a bad list. I have a good list.
Oh, okay.
And this is for our guy, Adam Beacon. I wanted to tell him how great of a job he's doing for filling in for our boy, Jared, which I know Caroline's. He's really enjoying the air time that she don't usually get. So, but just the knowledge and everything, just top notch. And I hope for being not having a job right now that AJ's, he'd be a good addition.
You're not the first person to tell me that. So Adam has done a fantastic job.
Yes. Hey, by the way, if y'all are ever thinking about changing y'all's name or anything, so you got D-back, it's called the Triple G. The triple D plus the suit.
3D plus the suit.
You just made the list.
All right, thanks, Bradley. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
615-737-1025. So Adam on the good list. Adam has done a fine job this week. It's been good having him here.
No question.
Let's go to Michael. Michael, welcome in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My list for this week is the Los Angeles Angels baseball team, specifically for what they have been doing when it comes to Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani these past couple weeks. Because every time I go on Twitter, it seems like, oh, Shohei Ohtani just did something that hasn't happened since World War I, and Mike Trout has hit 3 home runs in a game again, and the Angels still lose that game like 12-5 or something. So, and that seems, every time you go on Twitter, it's something ridiculous that Shohei and Mike Trout are doing, and the Angels just can't win, and they're just another just team in the doldrums right now in the MLB. And this has been happening for the past couple of years, and I'm not even an Angels fan. I have no dog in the fight when it comes to whether the Angels lose or not, but to see such talent being wasted like that, just as a fan of sports in general and of just in general baseball, it makes me really upset to see that level of talent is being wasted.
I love that. I love that idea because I am the same way. I have no connection to the Angels, but it is amazing to have arguably the two most compelling players in the game. And they're playing for a team that just has no relevance. They can't get any traction going and become a team that has a chance to be in the postseason. Shohei Ohtani is incredible. Just, it's ho-hum now. He strikes out 11 in 6 innings one night, hits 2 homers the next night. Nobody has ever done that before. Not even Babe Ruth. In the same season, it has been that kind of player at the major league level. It's incredible what he's doing. And they're, what, 34 and 37 or 35 and 38, something like that?
Yeah. Thanks for the call,
Michael.
That's
a great take.
You just made the list.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a very good take. 615-737-1025. I tell you what, we'll step away and take more of your calls. There is one line available. Who is on your list? Third Eyed Blind tickets are on the line for You Just Made the List on the DDC 1025-1063, the game. Back here on the DDC, You Just Made the List. 615-737-1025 is the number. Third Eye Blind, a pair of tickets on the line at First Bank Amphitheater on July 27th. Let's go back to the phones, and Eric has been waiting patiently. Eric, who's on your list?
First of all, guys, I just want to wish you guys and hope everybody out there has a great, fantastic, and safe 4th of July, especially if you're shooting off fireworks, so y'all be careful out there.
Thank you. You too, Eric.
All right, so guys, you may have heard about this story. I saw it yesterday on the news. Apparently, the Stanley Cup was shipped in a crate, but it went to the wrong house. It was supposed to go to the captain of the Colorado Avalanche. They guess the individuals, they live in a gated community, and the houses are kind of similar, addresses are kind of similar. And I guess whoever was delivering it was Amazon, UPS, or whatever it was. It was shipped in a crate. But it went to the wrong house. It showed the individuals opening up the box. And there's the Stanley Cup. And they're taking pictures with it. I guess they posted on Facebook or TikTok or whatever. So the individuals who were responsible for shipping the Stanley Cup to the Colorado Avalanche's captain's house, who shipped it to the wrong house instead, you just made my list.
You just made the list.
I had not. Thank you, Eric. I had not. I had not heard this, but this is awesome. I was just so happy to have the Stanley Cup in our driveway. Is what? What would you do? Like, you open up this giant box and there's the Stanley Cup. I don't even
mistakenly sent to your house.
I mean, like, yeah. I know who to call because we've had the keeper of the cup on. So I mean, we would know some places to start, but like, just a normal person, like, where do you even start with that?
What would you do? Yeah, like, would you, before you let the proper authorities know, would you have fun for a couple hours?
Well, yeah, why not? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you take pictures with it and do whatever, but I've never heard of it actually being shipped like that. I thought, Pritchard or one of the keepers was always
there. Yeah. That's a good question. I would need to do some research on that. I was not aware.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, who's on your list?
Fellas, 3D and sometimes C. How's that?
There you go.
I miss Elijah already. The king of the bump music. Bless his heart. More power to him. Good luck to you, young man. I'm going to put the Arby's on the list for my man Darren in absentia. And I'm going to put Stillman on the list because even though I've become an expert at closing the app probably at 2 every weekday and tuning over to Steelers Nation Radio, even through your promos, I can't help but be infected by his ignorance. It's a long, lengthy promo, and he's on and on about, hey, Manning made all of Tennessee's dreams come true. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, Jared. I don't know if he was even alive in 96 and 97. I'm unsure of that. But Peyton Manning never got past Spurrier and the Gators. Never.
Nope.
Peyton Manning did not win a national championship. It took a young man named T. Martin to finally accomplish that a year later in 98, I believe it was.
Yep.
So if losing to Florida 3 years in a row and being punished enough to give the Heisman to a defensive back is Tennessee fans' dreams come true, then he doesn't know any of the UT fans that I know because they were disappointed all 3 seasons when they bitter loss in the Swamp. My brother went to the Swamp wearing his number 18 jersey, and he just knew that that was going to be their year. And he came home with his tail tucked and his head in shame. So, Jared, get your facts straight, buddy, or just shut it. I hope you guys have a great holiday, man. Love the show.
Thanks, Barrett. Appreciate it. There you go. Stillman finding his place on the list. Brian on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, said he would drink beer out of the Stanley Cup and do keg stands. Hashtag Ovi.
Ovi. How about Ovi on the soccer field? Did you see him?
I did not.
That's crazy. You got to see these clips of him running around on the soccer field. was that even real? Like, it looked like it was like superimposed or something.
Right.
It was crazy.
Anonymous in Tennessee, if they ship the cup to my house by mistake, I'm keeping it and staying quiet. New table centerpiece at my house.
The authorities come to your house. I don't know what you're talking about. And then, you know, you walk into the TV centerpiece or the centerpiece.
It's fruit.
That looks awfully familiar there. Yeah.
Let's go to Adam. Adam, who's on your list?
Well, Chase, I would tell the neighbor here, you could have it back, but I'm going to write it down that I want to be cremated and put in the top of this. Like, that's part of me giving it back to you. So this week, man, I'm going to put a lady from Ace Hardware on the list. I'm walking through. I get everything that I need. We're doing a remodel, so I'm trying to find a specific can of spray paint, like a color that my wife's happy with. Couldn't find it. Sit in this long line, finally get up to her, and she asked me, she was really nice. She's like, is there anything, or did you find everything you needed? And I was like, no, not really. And I was like, I didn't really get the spray paint I needed, no big deal. She pushes back without even saying anything else to me and goes to try to find somebody who could help me find that spray paint. Meanwhile, this line is like 10 people deep, and I can't even look at them, you know, because it's so busy and it's hot in that store. And so she comes back. It's embarrassing. I'm talking to the guy. They're all waiting. Finally, he says, you know, we don't have it or whatever, but I go to leave. But I think she was too helpful. Like, I didn't ask her to go find somebody in that scenario, so I had to put that lady on there for that.
You just made the list.
Okay. I think that's list worthy for sure. Thanks, Adam. Let's get one more. Let's go to Paul. Paul, who's on your list?
Hey, guys. I'm going to go back to the well of the Motley Crue show.
Okay.
That was the proverbial jackpot of you just made the list fodder.
No doubt.
And my hat's off, first of all, to whatever counties half of the guests came from and whatever decade it was. It was pretty impressive. But Bret Michaels was not the sickest person in Nissan Stadium. My neighbors sitting next to me were just incurably stupid. Right in the dead middle of the Def Leppard set, and not on one of the new songs, which would be a little bit more forgivable, but we were in the meat and potatoes of what you wanted to hear. The woman sitting next to us said, hey, my friends are sitting two rows in front of you. Could you please swap seats so we could sit with them? No offering of, hey, let me buy you a drink. Not even like a really a please or a thank you. Just, hey, trade seats. We were in aisle seats. We buy aisle seats on purpose. They were two rows forward in the dead middle of the row with people stomping all over them, spraying them with beer as they walked. It's like, no, thank you. And she would not let it go. Like, talk through two songs, just being like, but you're two rows closer, as if two rows down made any kind of difference. It was a complete downgrade in the seats, but just could not shut up about it. She's on the list.
Oh,
I hate it when people talk through songs.
Yeah, that is tough, man. Hey, you bought the seats. You bought the seats. You don't wheel and deal. That's... I agree. If you're going to do that, you do it during between sets. You do not do it during the set. That's bad form. That is list worthy big time.
No, I 100% agree. Because I hate when people go on and on and on and on during
songs
like
that.
This
is my jam, man. We're trying to listen to the song.
I mean, if you're talking during
this is why you bought the tickets to watch them perform the song.
If you're talking during Def Leppard's new songs, that's all right. But, you know.
Yeah, at least turn the news on that nobody knows.
I'm still bitter. Like, why are you wasting my time with this? Play the good stuff.
It's I understand you want to promote a new song. If you think you got a good one, you mix it in at the right time, but you don't start off with that.
No, two of them.
Two.
Yeah, not good.
Were they any good? Or were you just kind of like,
they were fine, but like, you know, I want to hear stuff from Hysteria and Pyromania.
Of course, everybody does.
Want to hear the good stuff.
Everybody does, yeah.
So, you know, it's whatever. They were still good, still fine. But so there you go. You Just Made the List. We will award a winner for that. And also, coming up next, we're going to announce the winner for our casino giveaway to Bally's in Evansville. We will announce that winner coming up next on the DDC, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. All right, back here on the DDC, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, as it's time to make somebody a winner. You have been qualifying all week for our summer casino giveaway at Bally's in Evansville, a really cool prize. And now we will unveil the winner. We have spun the roulette wheel, and Kelton Jones is the winner. You have 10 minutes and 25 seconds to call 615-737-1025 to claim your prize. Kelton Jones, 615-737-1025, 10 minutes and 25 seconds to win this fantastic prize. And you know I like casinos, Willie, so this is good.
Oh yeah. We're just giving out all kinds of stuff this hour. This is good stuff.
Yeah. I think it's definitely good stuff for sure. Something that we were going to get to yesterday that we didn't have time to because, you know, the Big Ten bombshell. Yeah, you know, decided to, you know, and then Kevin Durant asked for a trade. I mean, there were all these things that happened yesterday afternoon. But Vic Taffer of The Athletic has the NFL 2022 MVP odds. And the headline says Josh Allen's the favorite, but who can beat him out? And, you know, this is usually a quarterback, and you know, we know Darren has gone on and on, and he's not wrong about, you know, make a quarterback award and then, you know, something else for an MVP, but it always seems to be a quarterback. But what I thought was interesting in all of this is the favorites are Josh Allen at 7-1, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are 8-1, Aaron Rodgers is 9-1. And then you have Justin Herbert, who's 9-1 as well. Joe Burrow is 12-1, which I love that. That's good value.
Right. So basically the way they separate it, for starters, Allen, Mahomes, Brady, Rodgers are kind of the old standbys, even though Allen is a young player. These are the established top-tier guys. And then the next two are Herbert and Burrow, so he calls them the young guns.
Right.
So let's just start with those six, Chase. Would you say, like, of those six, who would you take at those odds? What's the best buy for those six?
The best,
because it really depends on do you think Burrow can piggyback off of what he did?
Yes,
late in the season and then on into the playoffs.
Yeah, to me, Burrow's the easy bet. Especially at 12-1, but
you like Burrow at 12-1 better than a Mahomes 8-1 or the old, hey, let me take one more run at Tom Brady.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
I every year for the last 5 years, I would have said, yeah, I just don't think Brady can still play at an MVP level, and every year he plays at an MVP level.
Right. Yeah, he does, but I think Burrow's going to be an MVP. Like, there is no doubt that Joe Burrow is going to be an MVP, and it might very well be this year. Now, Josh Allen is going to have something to say about that. Patrick Mahomes is going to have something to say about that. And then you got Brady and Rodgers that are in there too. Herbert's an interesting one. I think.
Yes, I'm surprised at Herbert. I think Herbert will be a great fantasy quarterback. He'll have the numbers, but when you're saying MVP, you're saying that he's going to lead the Chargers deep into the playoffs. And I don't know if that's the case. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, I agree that the fantasy thing I agree with, but I still think he's really good. Like, he is.
Heck yeah.
He has exceeded my expectations.
But you've got to be the guy that's leading the last drive for the game-winning score.
Yeah.
A couple of comebacks in there. Chargers win a very tough division. And I'm not sure, like, we haven't seen it yet. He's got all the talent to do it. you also need a little bit of help from your team, because it's the MVP has to be a team award. You cannot win the MVP unless your team is having a huge year.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's
so
why
I just thought, I think Herbert at 9-1 is probably the least attractive to me. I think I'd rather still, you know, if I can still see Rodgers elevating everything around him and playing like an MVP,
maybe,
although
he's got,
I don't,
Lazard,
think he'd be my first George on there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious of the weapons that he has.
Yeah, it's going to be a bigger challenge for him. So you like Burrow as the best buy of those six.
I love Burrow as the best buy.
It's hard to argue. I might still take Allen as my best buy, even though he's the favorite. It's the worst odds because he is the favorite, but I think I might take Allen. Now there's the next tier.
Yep. There's
the rest of the quarterbacks is the next group.
Yep. So Stafford, Prescott, Russell Wilson are all 14-1.
Okay.
Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray are 20-1. Jalen Hurts, Derek Carr 25-1. Now, Derek Carr is an interesting
MVP.
One. Yeah, I don't see that. Derek Carr is interesting because now he has Davante Adams. So is Davante Adams going to be enough to elevate him into that conversation or not? I would say probably not. Like, I think it's going to help him no matter what. Like, the Raiders, I believe, are going to be pretty good by adding Davante Adams. But I don't know if that makes Derek Carr MVP.
I think he's got a chance to have some good numbers if Adams is a fit. Because Adams, Renfro, Waller, that seems to me to be pretty good three-tier attack, and then whoever else you can come up with, if they have any kind of running game to go with it, that seems like a pretty good offense for 25-1. I just can't see Hurts getting into a conversation of MVP. Stafford and Prescott, yeah, okay, I could see that. Wilson with the Broncos is a big X factor. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, if he's got it all together at 20-1, I kind of like that, because if he just plays out of his mind, I think you could argue he just had a bad year last year throwing. He made a lot of mistakes.
And he was hurt.
If he just gets hot, yeah, he got hurt. So I feel like he could be a good sleeper at 20-1.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, there are – Kyler's interesting too at 20-1, but – I feel like he's not, you know, I think there's, he's distracted. Yeah. So I think there's some other things going on, but
a lot of volatility in that whole camp, I would say.
Now, the non-quarterbacks.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There is a group at 50-1 of non-quarterbacks that include Jamar Chase, Jonathan Taylor, and Derrick Henry at 50-1. Cooper Kupp is 66-1. Saquon Barkley 250-1. But what do you think of that group at 50-1, led by Derrick Henry?
And no defensive players in in that group of five. Quarterbacks have won, according to the article in The Athletic, quarterbacks have won the last 9 MVPs. Going back to 2001, there's only 3 non-quarterbacks that have won. So we're talking about 21 years. There have been 3 running backs that have won the MVP since 2001. And it doesn't list who they are.
Was Sean Alexander one of them?
He may have been. That sounds right. I feel like that could have been him that won the MVP.
Hang on, and I can tell you. Since 2001, Sean Alexander won it in 2005. LaDainian Tomlinson won in 2006. And then Adrian Peterson won it in 2012.
Okay, so there's your 3.
Yep.
And so think about the season Todd Gurley has. They list a couple here. Todd Gurley had the monster year in 2017, didn't win it. Christian McCaffrey in 2019 massive numbers, didn't win it. Of course, Derrick Henry had the 2,000-yard season, didn't win it. So 50-1. I find it very interesting that they still have Henry in there among the top non-quarterbacks.
Right.
Take away the fact that, okay, what's the real chance that any of those guys who are not quarterbacks are actually going to win it? But to have him on the list of the top non-quarterbacks is significant to me. That means somebody thinks that there's still a dominant season there.
Right.
You know, how do you interpret? That's how I interpret that, is, hey, that gives me optimism that they, you know, odds makers who do their homework, as we know, still think there's a realistic shot he could have a dominating season.
Right.
That would mean great things for the Titans if that's the case, because there's a lot of skeptics out there. We've seen all kinds of articles pointing to workload, history of workload, and that even when he was playing last year, there were some troubling analytic signs behind the scenes, breaking tackles and all of that stuff.
The long shots are all quarterbacks, but that's Deshaun Watson, Trey Lance at 40-1, Kirk Cousins, Mac Jones, Matt Ryan at 50-1, Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield at 80-1. Nowhere on this list in any of these categories do you see Ryan Tannehill, which don't expect to, but I just was pointing that out. The fact that you got Baker Mayfield, who knows what team he's going to play for, he's got odds and Tannehill doesn't.
They also, you know, in putting all these together, do have, you're right, they don't have Tannehill anywhere in this article, and they have a long shot pick that they like, and that is Matt Ryan at 50-1. And that's a pretty interesting take by them. And I can see a narrative to where if Matt Ryan plays really well and the Colts bounce back with a great year and win the division, you could probably have a lot of storytelling of, hey, Matt Ryan should get some look for the MVP award. I'd be hard pressed to see him actually winning the MVP over a guy like a Josh Allen or somebody like that, a guy that just is changes the game every week.
Right.
But I do see a possibility that Ryan in a bounce back year could get that discussion happening. That's of course the home run. That's what the Colts would, you know, they would absolutely do cartwheels if that could happen. Something close to that.
My gambling insider is telling me Tannehill is 75-1. So he does have.
Yeah,
odds.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure everybody has odds, but he's just not listed on here.
Right.
I mean, come on, Baker Mayfield. They listed him
80-1.
How does he even get on in this article?
I don't get them putting. You know, they have the final four of Allen, Burrow, Matt Ryan, but they have Jalen Hurts, and I'm not seeing it. Like, is AJ Brown going to make him that much better?
We had this conversation last week about Jalen Hurts as a fantasy quarterback. Where would you pick him now that he has AJ Brown, especially if you're playing in a league where quarterback rushing yards are valuable? I can see Hurts being a starting fantasy league quarterback, and going into last year, I never would have thought that. If you actually put all his numbers together last year, he was a pretty viable fantasy option. But that's different than MVP, league MVP. Like,
right.
Are we talking about a 12-win Philadelphia team or at least 11-win? I don't know. Can he do that?
I don't know.
A.J. Brown might have a lot to say about that, and how he does would go a long way.
Look, that division is winnable, but, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what Dallas is going to be. I would expect they're going to be right there in the mix for it, but it's not a very good division overall. Washington's not good. The Giants aren't good. And then it's kind of a coin flip with Philadelphia. I mean, I don't even think Philadelphia is all that good. I think they, you know, A.J. Brown helps, but, you know, it all starts with Jalen Hurts. So we will see. But, yeah, just wanted to go through some of the MVP odds because it's never too early for MVP odds. So.
All right, so if you could just pick one, you're picking Burrow at 12-1.
Going Joe Burrow, yep.
Boy, I think I might have to agree.
Yep.
If I could just only pick one on this entire list, Burrow at 12-1 might be the best balance of odds to, in my mind, what that would mean. And the other one I would take, if I'm just going to be different, if you draft first and take Burrow, I have to take somebody else. I'll take Lamar Jackson at 20-1.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say that's safe. It's a safe bet.
It'd be a good payoff, and I think he's got the makings still of being that kind of player.
I'd like to see somebody different, you know, even though Lamar's won one, but I'd like to see somebody other than just the normal, you know, what's been Rodgers or Brady or whatever. I think that would be cool. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. If you missed Elliot Friedman yesterday, we're actually going to replay that coming up in just a few minutes. Because he had a lot of stuff in there that was really, really good. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. The DDC, 1025-1063, the game. We are back here on the DDC in Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York-certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Ian Safar behind the glass now. Appreciate him helping out. Talking MVP odds, an article in The Athletic that Willie and I were referencing, kind of breaking down the favorites and the top guns is what they call it. Josh Allen is the favorite at 7-1. You know, some value picks with young players, non-quarterbacks. So taking your calls and your text, 615-737-1025. Weston wants to weigh in on the MVP conversation. Weston, welcome in.
Hey there. So kind of listening to you guys talk about, I know how y'all are looking at Joe Burrow at 12-1 right now. Two to kind of keep in mind, if you really solely base it off of the MVP status, Aaron Darnold has to be on the list for sure. You look at what he does defensively, wrecking havoc even at his age on defenses and offenses alike. Like, that's a team player that everybody wants to have. But from a quarterback perspective, I have to look at Dak Prescott. And the reason why is because this is the year kind of with Josh Allen and the Bills is a similar situation. If you're going to win a Super Bowl, this is either the year or when will you ever win one if you're Dallas or Buffalo? Because you have all the talent on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively. So Dak's got to step up and be that kind of player.
I agree with that. Thanks for
That's
the call,
a good one.
Weston. Yeah.
Were you surprised that Aaron Donald was nowhere on this article?
Yeah.
Anywhere? No mention?
Yeah, because they just
–
There's no respect there for defensive players because they just go, okay, he'll win defensive player of the year. But this is where I agree with Darren. It's the most valuable player. It's not the most valuable quarterback or offensive player. I mean, it should be more open, but because of how important the quarterback position is, that's why the quarterback, you know, gets the recognition that it does because I get the argument that, you know, if Josh Allen gets hurt in week one for the Bills, then yeah, they're probably screwed. And they're not gonna do very well. You know, if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt for the Chiefs, same thing. So I get the importance of that position, but I would like to see other positions recognized more with that.
Well, I remember the days where Lawrence Taylor, and I don't remember if he won the one. I feel like there were different people back then or different publications that had their own, but I feel like LT won an MVP.
He did, 1986.
So, like, why? Like, a defensive player is extremely valuable in this day and age. So I don't see why the best defensive player could not be an MVP. So that's a good take by him. Here's another one that they put that I thought was worthy of bringing up, and we didn't mention it in our first segment, is just at the odds. If all of us, there always is a story, not always, but there are plenty of stories throughout the years, and I don't know, I can't see it happening. I wouldn't predict it. But there are stories of a team going from just being awful to everything comes together, and they have a great year. Not necessarily win the Super Bowl, but they have a great regular season. Could you see that? And they make this case in the article. Saquon Barkley at 250-1 in the New York media market. Let's say the Giants somehow win a crazily mediocre division. They squeeze out 10 wins. They're 10-7 or 11-6. Barkley has a huge year. 250-1. That's a pretty interesting thing. You put $10 down.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Because you know,
like,
you never
know. That's somewhat. I can see that. It's not like, oh my gosh, there's no way. Whereas you're sitting there going, you know, there's other examples on here where you're saying no way. Like right. Kirk Cousins 50-1, no way. I love Barkley at 250-1 as opposed to Cousins 50-1.
I
could see a Barkley deal. I cannot see a Cousins under any circumstances winning the MVP.
You know, it is funny. You were asking about defensive players. LT is the last defensive player to win the MVP in 1986.
Interesting. You know, Reggie White or anybody like that got it. The quarterbacks usually completely engulf everybody's thinking.
Alan Page won it in 1971.
Wow, that's going way back.
So there's
the
only
purple people eaters.
Yeah, since the inception of the MVP, there's only been two defensive players to win it. Alan Page.
But Aaron Donald is that kind of dominant player.
I agree.
So for him to not even have, like, I thought I would see his name on this list somewhere in a 40-1, 50-1, something or other.
Do you remember the MVP from 1982?
1982?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Would that have been John Riggins?
No, but played for the Redskins.
Oh, it was Mark Moseley.
The kicker.
That was so weird. The straight on kicker. That, I mean, what were they thinking there? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't really get that one either.
He had a great year, but he was a kicker. Come on.
Kicker. Hey, kickers matter.
Yeah. Well, he definitely mattered that year. He won the MVP.
Yeah, no doubt. But I am curious if, you know, when the next time we're going to see a non-quarterback win this award.
I'd love to find some articles from 1982 asking the question. Like, were there people on talk shows, in newspapers saying, what did we just do? We just voted a kicker MVP. Like, in retrospect, that's very puzzling.
Was that the strike year?
That was a strike year. They only played 9 games in the regular season. And the Redskins ended up winning the Super Bowl. And John Riggins was, you know, with the Hogs and everything like that. Joe Theismann, they had a really good team. But I still am scratching my head as to how in the world whoever voted a kicker over all the guys you could have had, strike year or not strike year.
Gary on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Alan Page went on to become a lawyer and a justice on the Minnesota Supreme Court.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
That's awesome.
Amazing, amazing human being there. Hall of Famer and now a judge, or, you know, became a judge.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, when we coming up next, we're going to replay Elliot Friedman from yesterday because a lot of good nuggets in there, and then we'll get back into some of the NHL moves that are happening and how they could pertain to the Predators. We'll do that coming up on the DDC 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app.